couch has never been a particularly desirable place to sack out. You know what it means when a spouse is relegated to the couch. And when we stay at relatives' homes, when I was young at least, the adults got the beds, the kids got the couch and the floor, in some cases. In fact, a lot of young people save money when they're traveling by calling up a friend in the area and asking if they can sack out on the couch. The couch, as a sleeping accommodation at least, carries an implied stigma of punishment maybe, or at least a lower position in the pecking order. But what if we turned that idea on its head? What if the humble couch became a popular and respected travel accommodation? That's the idea behind couchsurf.org. It's not the first website to come up with a way to stay in someone's home for free by throwing blankets on the Chesterfield, but it may be the most successful, and it's launched a massive subculture of couch surfers all over the world. Our next guest spent 7 nights in 7 different strangers' homes. Patricia Marks, staff writer for The New Yorker, chronicles her experiences couch surfing in San Francisco, Iowa City, Palo Alto, Bermuda. Patty, what made you want to write about couch surfing and actually experience couch surfing?
Well, I got the assignment. Let's start there. But I like to travel, and theoretically, I guess I like to meet people. And it just seems to be a phenomenon that I had no awareness of until one day I did, and then everybody, it seemed, was couch surfing.
Okay, so you got this assignment. You must have been nervous at that point. How did the couch surfing either live up to your expectations or not?
I was nervous because I don't even like sharing space with myself. And the couch surfing has a fantastic site. And everybody who's a member of couch surfing there, and there are close to 4 million members, writes a profile. So you know a lot about the person. And not only do you know what the person says, you know what everybody that person has stayed with has said about that person.
So you felt safe.
So I wasn't surprised by anybody really, because I knew so much about them. I felt completely safe. Everybody I talked to, and particularly my mother, didn't think I was safe, but I felt incredibly safe. I was more worried about being incessantly sociable and extremely polite all the time.
Patricia Marks is a staff writer at The New Yorker. Also with us, another couch surfer from Chicago, Valerie. Did you have the same worries about sharing space with other people, about safety, about having to be polite all the time?
Well, I do, and that's why I have very specific guidelines. I host more than I surf. So for me, I've only surfed once, and that is because when I travel, I don't necessarily have the desire to be sociable all the time. And I think you do have to do that when you surf.
And yet the couchsurf.org, when you look at their mission, they say that's the point, is to encourage diversity, is to encourage travel as a way to learn about other people and be a little intrepid.
And it is, which is why I host so much, because I really enjoy hosting all of these people from all over the world and learning their stories and sharing their cultures.
And in interest of full disclosure, we should say that our own assistant producer, Joseph Caprileone, stayed at your home on a trip to Chicago last October. I hope he was polite all the time.
Oh, he was fabulous.
Patricia Marks, explain this as a phenomenon. Why is this particular thing growing?
Well, I think partly it's growing because of the economics of travel. But I think it's something bigger too. When I, many, 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 many years ago, I won't even tell you how long ago, was in my 20s, I would hitchhike and I would stay with a friend of a friend of a friend of a friend. But I was there to see the place I was going to. I wasn't really there to make an everlasting friend, or even a friend for a night. And I think people, maybe because they use the internet so much, want physical contact. I think that's part of it. I think it's also curious because it eliminates the serendipitous nature of meeting people. You know a whole lot about them. It's almost like matchmaking, except that you're arranging your own friend.
Well, that's Patty Marks. She actually couch surfed 7 nights in 7 different strangers' homes and wrote about it for The New Yorker. And also with us is another couch surfer and hoster of couch surfers, Valerie in Chicago. And Valerie, one of the things that couchsurf.org claims is that it actually helps host families get out and see their own town. And I know I've been in lots of places. You'll be in New York with people who've never been to, say, the Statue of Liberty, who've never been to the top of the Empire State Building. Did hosting couch surfers make you explore your own hometown?
Oh, it really does. Someone brought pizza home from Uno's Pizza, and I said, "Where is this?" And they said, "Well, don't you know? It's they invented the deep dish." Oh, okay.
So, Patricia, I mean, one of the things, another thing that they say at their website, couchsurf.org, is that their goal, I'm going to quote here, is nothing less than changing the world. A little hyperbolic there?
Yes and no. I think the phenomenon is changing the world, or maybe reflecting a change in the world. But everybody I talked to that's a member of Couchsurfing said even if they could afford to go to the Four Seasons, they wouldn't, because they just love the experience of meeting people in foreign countries. And I think it is, sorry to be so cliched, but I think it is making the world smaller that way.
Is it a young person's game, though? I mean, the average age is around 28, people who couch surf. Is it really for a young, unattached person?
Well, it happens to be that's what most members are. There are plenty of members in their 40s and 50s and even 80s. It is the case that when I told anybody my age about couch surfing, it was most likely they hadn't heard of it unless they had a kid in their 20s, and they thought it was a little unnatural and undesirable, whereas everyone I knew in their 20s had heard of it, most people had done it, and they saw nothing wrong with it. So I think it's somewhat generational.
All right, so let's get to the really important questions here. We're speaking with Patricia Marks, staff writer for The New Yorker, who wrote about her experiences couch surfing in many different cities. Did you actually sleep on the couch, literally?
I think two homes I stayed on the couch. I like the couch. I have no problem with the couch. I sometimes have problem with the people. But I had seven great people. I also had rooms and my own bathroom, and they were far nicer than what I provide for myself. I had great digs.
And what about you, Valerie? Did you sleep on actual couches?
I slept on a bed, and in our house we have three extra beds for people to sleep on. They have their own guest room, their own bathroom, their own towels.
Is this like a bed and breakfast thing? Do you have to feed your guests? Do you have to host them and shuttle them around?
You set your own guidelines. So I have written on there are times when you won't even see us the entire weekend, and there are other times when you'll be out with us hanging around Chicago and I can take you everywhere.
And Patricia Marks, did you end up having to hang around with people all the time as you feared?
Oh, I did, but it was very pleasant, actually. And I was only there for a day, and I found that my hosts were excellent tour guides. So I saw a lot of the cities that I wouldn't have. And I want to say about bed and breakfast. If you charge money or accept money, you're off the site. So it's unlike bed and breakfast that way.
And in fact, couchsurf.org describes itself as a benefit corporation. What does that mean, Patricia?
God knows. That's a new term. It's a form of a corporation that must be socially minded and environmentally good.
And of benefit to society, which it sounds like you say they are.
They're a benefit to 4 million people in that society.
Would you couch surf? Are you converted now? Are you a converted couch surfer?
Well, I don't travel that much, and when I do, I travel for work and probably wouldn't have the time to be polite and nice and friendly. And if I were traveling for fun, I do like hotels. But what I might do, there's a whole other aspect of couch surfing, which is if you go to a country, you could post online that you'll be there and you want to have lunch with somebody or be taken on a tour. And I think that's a really valuable service, which I might try.
Patricia Marks, staff writer at The New Yorker and Valley, couch surfer and couch surfing hoster from Chicago. Thanks to both of you for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And Patricia, that was 10 minutes of polite, sociable behavior. I thought you did extraordinarily well.
Is that okay?
Yeah, it was terrific. We're
good.
Getting stories. Destination Frankfurt from Pam in Brooklyn.
I was a member of couchsurfing.com, and it was one of the best things I ever did. I used it to travel in Germany. I stayed with all sorts of German folks. I hosted travelers in my apartment in Frankfurt, and it kind of restored my faith in humanity.
Give us your story. Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or post to thetakeaway.org. There are lots of German folk in Frankfurt.
There are.
There tend to be.
I think they are a majority.
We want to get an early jump on all of our conversations, and you can be a part of our listener response network. You just sign up for text. You get one a day. We'll ask you a question featured on the next day's show, and your voice will become part of our on-air conversation. You text the word START to 69866. START to 69866. I'm John Huckenberry.
And I'm Celeste Headlee. This is The Takeaway.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.